Amen. It's so good. Y'all can be seated. Brother Alex Faulkner, can I ask you to lead us in a word of prayer? Good to see you tonight, brother.
Yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much tonight. Yes, we're so thankful to be in your house tonight. Lord, there's no other place than we'd rather be tonight in the presence of your Spirit here in your house, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you be with us. We ask that you would give us a word tonight, Lord. Give us a message. Whatever it is for us, Lord, we'll glorify you, Lord, and we'll praise you. And we just love you so much, and we thank you so much for all the blessings that you give us. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Steve, you may.
Well, it's good to see each one of you tonight. Love you and glad you're here tonight. And we appreciate these from Hopewell that have come to support Brother Jeff and from other places that it might be. And I started calling names. And I didn't mean to do that. But wherever you go to church, we appreciate you being here tonight. And we just want to go to meeting for a little while and worship God in spirit and in truth. And what I try to do when I go to meeting is I try to leave everything that might hinder me. I try to leave it on the outside.
Amen.
And I never have been able to drag it with me and accomplish anything pleasing to the Lord. So I want to encourage you tonight to just lay everything aside. Maybe you got things on your mind that you need to do tomorrow, and try to just put that on the back burner, and just for a little while, let's just try to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth tonight. I thought about this. The Bible teaches us, and Jesus spoke this, and he said that there was a man that had made a great supper, and he bade many to come to that supper. And the Bible says that each one of them began to make excuses as to why they couldn't come. One of them said that he had purchased some land and that he needed to go and see about it. And these are things that apply today with us that Jesus was talking about back then. One of them had bought some cattle, some oxen, and he needed to prove them, see if he got a bargain on what he bought. And last but not least, one of them said, it's my favorite one. He said, I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. And I said that to say this: we can let anything in the world hinder us from serving God. I mean, you don't have to think far to think of something that could be hindering you from serving God. But I'm glad tonight that everyone that's here, I feel like that you put some stuff on the back burner to be here tonight. I really do, and I'm glad of that. I remember years ago when Saturday was the only day that I had to get anything done around the farm, around the house, and I would pack everything into that Saturday trying to get it all done. I had a neighbor, God rest his soul, his wife had died years ago, but he would come to the house, and he had a lot of time on his hands. And he would sit there and he would just follow me around, and you didn't want to just keep on going with what you were doing. It'd be kind of rude, you know. But I told Linda sometime after, I said, if he comes by this Saturday, I'm going to be in the back 40 back there and just tell him I'm not saying that to be ugly, but he was a hindrance on the only day that I had to get anything done around the house. We've set this time aside for revival.
Yeah.
And the devil will give us 10,000 hindrances if we allow him to.
Right.
So I'm glad that you're here tonight.
Yeah.
I want us to just go to meeting for a little while. I'd like it just to turn into a testimony service, whatever God leads. I'd love to see that. I want you to pray for the man of God, Brother Jeff. I love him, and we're looking forward to him coming in a little bit. But I know sometimes the Spirit leads different directions, and so let's just be willing to do whatever God leads us to do tonight. If you've got a song burning on you that you feel like that you need to sing, boy, that would certainly be in order. Testimony. You're kind of questioning whether I ought to testify or not. If the Lord's promoting you to testify, you need to. Amen. There's somebody here that needs to hear it tonight. So just want to encourage you, but let's just go to meeting for a little while. I love each one of you. I'm going to turn it back over to Brother White.
Amen. Look at page 221. I'm bound for that city.
Amen.
Pleasure in this world.
$199, okay. Share with us after we sing this one?
Yeah.
Okay, one. 224.
All right,
babe.
There's
the
bass singers.
I need me some bass singers. I need me a posse of bass singers. Y'all come up. I need some bass singers. You want to sing? Come up. Come up, Charlie. Okay, let Brother Alex get up here. think Alex can get down there. I think I'm putting you on the spot. I think he can get down there pretty low.
Saved my soul from devil's hell. and I'm depending on that. It's going to get me over on the other side.
Amen.
You pray for me and I'll stay humble and obedient.
Bless your heart, brother.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad to be here at Liberty Hill for the first time, I guess. I met with Wayne and I saw Vanessa yesterday for a little while, and they mentioned revival, and I didn't really think much about it, but I thought I might slip on up here and see what it was all about.
Amen.
And I'm glad I did, because it's we hadn't even gotten to preaching yet, and I'm already having fun. So y'all pray for me as I try to sing this.
We'll just follow you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right here at Liberty Hill Church, where I felt the Lord convict me, tug on my heartstrings, and I was sitting right here where Brother Jeff is. My daddy was leading the music. I looked around and daddy said, go if you feel like it. And when I left the bench and fell in the arms of Brother Odell Smith, I had surrendered to the Lord. The glory filled my soul.
Amen.
It filled my soul by taking that one step. And you know, I've got some cassette tapes from back in the 1970s right here at Liberty Hill Church. And getting these green books out tonight just thrilled my soul. It's just like listening and being here back then. And you know, the world changes around us, but God hadn't changed.
That's right.
He hadn't changed. And our ability to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth has not changed.
That's right.
And I'm so glad to be here tonight.
Amen. Bless your heart, Brother Chris. Amen. I feel the spirit of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Jeff, if you're ready, come ahead. Love you, brother. You pray for Brother Jeff.
Amen.
That's the Lord.
You have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Joshua. Chapter number 14. And while you're turning there, I got just maybe three or four verses over in the book of Romans. Not ask you to turn there. We'll just read this passage of scripture, and then we'll go further. But I'll read from the book of Joshua. I guess that's where my thought will come from tonight. But in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, I got just maybe four verses of scripture here, and we'll probably try to bring all this together tonight. But in the 8th chapter, the 15th verse of the book of Romans, if you want to look at this later, says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear."
Amen.
"But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father."
Yes.
"The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God."
Yes.
"And if children, then heirs."
Yes.
"Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us."
Amen.
And tonight I thought along these lines that we are not, this is not our home.
Amen.
We're just pilgrims and strangers in a strange land. And we can't focus and get satisfied here.
Right.
And I want to refer back in the book of Numbers, before we read this passage of scripture, there's something been said tonight about the promises of God, and that we should stand firm on the promises.
Yes.
Of God. And that's what I want to look at for just a little while tonight, is the promises of God. Like I said, this is not our home, but neither was Egypt the home of the Israelites. They were strangers there. They were put there under some circumstances that probably was beyond them at the time, but yet they were enslaved. They were held captive. And folks, this evening, if we have sin in our life, we are held captive.
Amen.
By those sins that bind us down.
Amen. Yes.
And but with that being said, like I said, I wanted to refer to some other scripture tonight before we go, just to bring us up to where we are here in the book of Joshua. I thought about when the Lord had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he brought them to the brink of Jordan, and they could see over into the promised land, but yet they chose to choose them out as spies and to go into the land to see what was in the land, who was there, what kind of land it was, if it was fat or lean, if it was a good land or bad land, if the people was strong or if they were weak, if they lived in tents or in cities, in strongholds. But folks, I tell you, we today we have the same things go through our minds in the day in which we live. When God puts it on us to go forward and to go for Him, we want to hesitate. And I read in the scripture some while back, and I gathered from it that hesitation is the same is rejection. And and we see that in the report that the children of Israel brought back, but they chose them out spies to go into the land, and they went in and they did just as they were instructed, those 12 head men from each tribe, and they went in and they searched out the land. And when they came back, Joshua and Caleb, they gave their report, and they told them that surely this is a good land, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And so the scripture says it was at the time of the first ripe fruits of the grapes. And said two of them took a staff and they bore, they cut just a cluster of grapes, and they bear that on a staff between the two. So surely it was a good land. And I thought about how the children of Israel, as they come back and they brought of the fruit of the land to show the fruits, how that they looked upon it. Now, Brother Michael, I don't think that when we think of a cluster of grapes, we look in a cluster that we see in a grocery store, and sometimes there'll be one or two clusters in a bag. And I tell you, we sometimes we think that that was maybe what they brought back. But one cluster bare on a staff between two men. And so I think it would be safe to say that that cluster of grapes, they were, each grape was huge. You probably could have just put one or two in that bag of grapes that we would buy at the grocery store, brought back of the pomegranates and the figs, and they showed the people. And Joshua and Caleb told them, said, it's a good land, a land that floweth with milk and honey. But he said that, that those other men that went up with them caused the hearts of the people to melt. And they told them, said it's truly a good land, but said it eats up, then the fat of the land is eaten up. But I tell you, folks, this evening, as I thought about this passage of scripture and how that just a few that is negative can turn the whole group against the will of God. And so when we see that they had finally decided that that we'd messed up, we've murmured and complained against God and against God's will for our life, they said, well, let us go up at once and take it. And they were told, said, we can't go now because he is not with us at this point. We squandered our opportunity. But Joshua and Caleb had told them, said, the other said that would it not have been better that we had died down in Egypt, but God has brought us here in this wilderness than to die with the edge of the sword. And and said, our wives and children will be prey. And but Joshua and Caleb said, no, said, but they're just bread for us. This enemy is just bread for us. If God delight in us, he will give us the land. And he said, and we'll see here in a second. And I just wanted to share that to bring us to where we were. But said that because Joshua and Caleb had brought back the good reports, and only they will be able to go in with the remaining children of Israel. But everyone from the age of 20 years and older, they'll die in the wilderness. And said they'll wander a day for each year that they, for each day that they wandered to spy out the land, they'll wander for a year for each day. And so I thought about this, how our decisions a lot of times bear grave consequences upon us, and how that God will allow us to make our own decisions and go our own way. And he said it even in the book of Isaiah, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. All, he each one to his own way. But I thought in this, how that he said Joshua and Caleb only will survive to go in to that promised land. And, but I thought about this, how sad it would be because of our disobedience, and when they've been told that, and they see that number dwindling, and that age going closer to where they're all just about gone. And that younger generation said he'd raise them up, and they'd be a greater than what they were before. And, but I thought about how we as God's children will squander a lot of opportunities because someone around us is telling us that no, we're not able. And, but Caleb said I'm more than able. And I thought about this, how that we need to hold on to God's promises. This is not our home. This land in which we sojourn through, it's not our home, but we're just pilgrims and strangers, just as they were down in the land of Egypt. They were headed home, but yet there were so many that were saying, let us just choose us out a captain and return back to Egypt.
Yeah.
Let us just return and go back to Egypt, for we were better off down there. Folks, I tell you, this evening when Caleb heard that, he was 40 when he went into that land, despite how he was 40 years old. And at the time that here in the book of Joshua, when they get ready to divide out the land, he is now 85 years old. But I want you to listen to what he says. In the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter, and beginning with the 6th verse, it said, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swear on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy foot or feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake these words unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then shall I be able to drive them out, as the Lord had said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kesh. I can't pronounce it. Kesh Jarb
Heard you at Barba.
There you go. Which Ab was a great man among the Canaanites, and the land had rest from war. And that's as far as we'll read tonight. But as I looked at this, I thought about this, how that we as God's children, we see, and as God's children, we know the promises of God and what He has promised us. And this land, is, like I said, is not our homes. We're just passing through. But our home land is just over the horizon, Brother Michael, and we have to keep looking up and keep our eyes upon the prize and keep marching forward that we may obtain that prize that He has set before us. And folks, I tell you tonight, as we look back and we see how just a few, a handful of men can come and they just share not the true testimony of that Saul down through the time, how that God had performed miracles and the things that, that He showed them down in Egypt, how that He hardened the heart of Pharaoh, that He was willing to let them go. When they got to the Red Sea, how He parted the waters. Folks, but I think a lot of times we as God's children fail to realize that God is able. He is more than willing to go the extra mile for His people, and the promise that He had made has made unto us. He'll honor those promises if we'll stay true to Him. If His Spirit bear witness with ours, folks, I tell you, we can do great things. He said, there as we look and see this in the Scripture, how that that many people in the day in which we live, there's so many that they don't believe in the miracles. Brother Michael talked a little bit about it on Monday night, how that God can still perform miracles, and he talked about the word virtue, how virtue had gone, and I never really thought about it like he put it, but he said virtue could be just simply be put as possible, that is possible. All things are possible with God, and folks, I believe that God is still on the throne. He still has the power to save and the power to make whole again, because He is God. He is able, because you know, He says our His thoughts are way above our thoughts, and His ways above our ways. And folks, I think a lot of times we just want to get caught up just fitting in.
Right.
Just to fit in.
Yeah.
That's where those 10 men, they came back and they gave the evil report. I think there was a fear that had set up in them. What if we go in there and we can't overcome these giants in the land? I believe that what they said, that these are men of great stature. They're big men. They're bigger than us. But Joshua and Caleb said, but if the Lord delight in us, we're more than able. You say that they're a prey. Our children and wives are but prey for them. I tell you, but they're bread for us. I tell you, if we trust in the Lord and with all of our mind, soul, and strength, folks, He is more than able to supply.
Amen.
All of our needs according to His riches and glory. Caleb here, if you realize what he said there, I said, you remember this thing that that Moses had promised, and through the Lord promised through Moses, saying that the land where all my feet had trodden shall be mine for an inheritance.
Yes.
And then he says, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Folks, we've got to be in a place in our life to where we can claim the promises of God.
Sure.
Upon our life.
Yeah.
But so many times, we doubt and we wonder because of what others say.
Yep, now, come on.
He had given them a land that flowed with milk and honey. A land that would make their life a life of ease.
Yeah.
They would still have to do their part because of the sin that took place in the garden. They'd still have to work. They'd still have to do their part, but it was going to get a lot easier.
Sure.
If they just obey the simple voice of God.
Amen.
Just obey the voice of God. And follow through with the plan that he had set in motion. He'd give them the leaders time and time again. I guess one of the only defeats that I read about the time that they left, from the time they left Egypt till they got to this point, was against Ai. And if you read that story, you'll find that it was just a little town of hick farmers.
Yeah.
That went out to God's people. And it tells about the lives that was lost.
Yeah.
Because sin was in the camp.
That's right.
Simple as that. Sin was in the camp. And they were told that sin was in the camp. And they went through. And they examined each household. And he told them, he said, yes. He said, I've got some garments and some wedges of gold buried in the floor of my tent that was forbidden.
Yeah,
that's right.
And I took them and I buried them in the floor of my tent. And he and his family was destroyed.
Yeah.
And said all that he had was but a dunghill. It meant nothing because he got greedy and others paid the price. When these 10 men came and they gave a negative report against what was in the land and their abilities, it wasn't their ability, Brother Michael. They would not be able to go against them on their own. They had that part right.
Yeah.
But what they didn't realize, those 10 men, and what they forgot was God and His mighty works.
Amen.
And they had seen it back down in Egypt. They had seen it along the way. They had seen water flow from a rock because it was had been smitten. They saw the miracles of God.
Sure.
But yet, when it comes time to receive that promise of the land that He had promised them, they were hesitant.
Yeah.
They had doubt.
Sure.
And that doubt is like I said, is the same. Hesitation is the same as just saying, no, He's not able. Is not able. It will cost you. It'll cost you every time.
Yeah.
Folks, if we'll allow the Lord to work in our life, He will lead us. And not only will He lead us, but He'll lead us down the path of righteousness. And what we can't see, He'll lighten the path that we may be able to stay upon. My God is able to supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory.
Amen.
Now He doesn't always look at our wants, but all of our needs He'll supply.
That's right.
He'll supply. We just got to be willing to do our part.
Yeah.
Caleb said, just as I was in those days, that I went in to spy out the land, I'm as strong now as I was then.
Yeah.
45 years later, I'm still just as strong. It don't seem possible. I told somebody just the other day, if I go downhill over the next 10 years as much as I have this last 10, I'll be miserable. Simply miserable. But Caleb here is 85 years old, and he said, if God be with me,
I'll drive them out.
Bless your own name.
I'm going to receive my prize. You know what it cost him?
All it cost him was to be willing to go.
That's right.
Amen.
Just to be willing to go and to do his part.
Yeah.
We wonder why we don't see the house full.
Come on.
How many of us in the past few weeks leading up to the revival has God put someone on our heart to pray for, to go visit, to invite them to church, and not to take no for an answer? It's not Brother Steve's place, as already been mentioned this week, to do it all.
Amen.
They sent 10 men that brought back a negative report, and only two.
Amen.
So to reach those that just are not sure, the odds are stacked against us.
Right.
When you look at numbers. But those negative cause the heart of the people to melt. The negativity that they brought back, we can't do it. We can't do it. A few years later, probably just a few years. Well, it was 40 something years at least. They come back and they start dividing out the land. And Caleb comes forward to receive his, and he said, you remember what the Lord promised, what he said concerning thee and me about the land whereon I trod when I went to spy out the land. He said, give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. Folks, over at Bethel Baptist Church, back in 1985, in that spring, early, I guess it was in the fall of 84, Brother Drennan Aldridge came to Marlon and Nello Smith's house, and I went there that night to pick Renee up. And we was just dating. And that man followed me out on the carport, and he said, Jeff, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure, Drennan. I said, you can ask me anything you want to ask me. He said, you ever been saved? And I said, no, hadn't never been saved, Brother Drennan. He said, he picked his finger up, and he said, if you don't change your ways and ask the Lord to save you, you're going to die and go to hell. And before I could say anything, he was going back in the house. If he would have stayed and answered any questions, I would probably have, it would not have had the same effect. But when that man left me there, and I didn't know how to go about getting saved. I didn't know what it required. Didn't know anything about it. And I don't think the only prayer that an unsaved man can get through is a prayer when he's asking God to save his soul.
Amen. I believe that.
He has no communication with God. He has no personal relationship with God. So what other thing could a lost man pray for other than his own salvation?
Right.
He'd get in touch with God, and he's got access to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of his life. But as we went on into the spring revival, Brother Bobby Bright came and preached the message, and I know there's been two or three that said they was sitting on the third bench from the back, and that's where I was. And I was standing right on the edge, and I had that song book, and I had went all that fall and through the winter into spring, and I would go to church on Sunday just to be with Renee one more time during the week. And as I would go, I would think, God, I need to be saved. I was convicted as a 7-year-old little boy out at Welcome Baptist Church. But I would go Sunday after Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Every time she was at church, I was at church while we were dating. And as I went over there, I began to want to be saved. And the Lord just would not deal with me. And I asked God, I said, God, I need to be saved. Give me one more opportunity. And their revival came up, and it was the Wednesday night of their revival. And I was standing there, and they gave the invitation, and I grabbed that song book, and I was going to tough it out. And some of you have heard me tell this before. The Lord convicted me again. And He let me know that this was my opportunity. And it was just as though He stepped up beside me and said, you asked for one more opportunity. And just as I heard those words in my mind, it was like Satan stepped up on the other side and you've done without this for 18 years. Mm-hmm. You don't need this. Mm-hmm. You've got plenty of time. Well, I want to tell you something. Satan will wait you right into the pits of hell.
You see, well, God bless you, preacher.
And I really believe that hell would have been my home if I would have rejected Him that night, because it was as though I was hearing the words of our Savior Jesus Christ when He said, you've asked for one more opportunity. But He saved my soul. That precious blood cleansed me and made me whole.
Amen.
Amen.
I've got a home awaiting me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And when it gets time to lay this old robe of flesh down, and He doesn't save this robe of flesh, that's the sinful part of this wretched man that I am.
Yeah.
He doesn't save it. It will continue to sin. But that He touched on the inside of me, it knows no sin.
Amen.
Knows no sin. And one day after a while, I'll probably be up there Rock Springs in the cemetery if the Lord delays His coming. And those eastern skies are going to part, and the trump's going to sound, and all those that are asleep in the grave are going to rise first.
Yep. Yeah.
To meet Him in the air.
Surely.
I'm counting on that. He has promised me that. Do I understand it? No, I don't. But I'm trusting that He is able to supply and to come through on the promises that He made to all that will follow Him.
Amen.
All that will lay it all down.
Amen.
Folks, you can't come to the altar if you're lost. You can't come and just say, well, Lord, I want to surrender this part of my life. Save me. He will not hear that prayer.
Right.
Why? Because you are not committed. I didn't get saved. I came to the altar, but I didn't get saved in the altar. I didn't rock back and forth. But when I closed that book and laid it down, and that foot struck that aisle before Amen. That left foot got in the aisle, I was saved.
Amen.
I can't remember the walk down to the altar. Can't remember what I got even said, or even if I prayed, just like somebody else had said.
Yeah.
But I can remember when I stood up, the night I got saved, there was 80-year-old man got saved that night. And it was all because we were obedient Amen. To the call of God.
Sure.
Amen.
That's it. Being obedient.
Amen.
But that night, when I stood up, and y'all heard me talk about that, I can't really say that I loved anybody until he shared his love with me.
That's right.
And then I began to understand what love Amen. Truly is.
God bless you.
One of the members of our church, and I shared this with Charlie and Steve a little bit ago before we started the service. One of the members of up at Hopewell at our church, I can't give a devotion without crying. All of y'all here from Hopewell know that. And I shared with them why. Several years ago, I asked God to let me see what those that reject Him and His love and His mercy and His grace, what they go through when they leave this walk of life. And I don't think He showed me all of it, because I don't think I could stand it.
Right.
But folks, if we have loved ones that are lost and undone, you need to reach for them with all you
Amen.
Got.
Amen.
God bless you.
With all you got.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you don't want them to go to that horrible place.
No.
Scripture says it's a place where the worm dieth not
yeah.
and the fire is not quenched.
Right.
Heard an old preacher one time say, you think the screams and the gnashing of teeth and the pain and the agony, you think it's dying down? And they just throw more in. Just throw more fuel on the fire.
Yeah.
Folks, it's our loved ones. It's our loved ones that fuels the fire. Reach for them at all costs. This is not our home. The grave is not the end. The grave is only the beginning. When we draw this last breath here, our next will be with the Father for eternity.
Yes.
And if your loved ones is lost, if you're lost, and you refuse His mercy and His grace, your next breath will be in a devil's hell.
Amen.
In that place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Caleb stayed true to the Lord.
Yes.
And when it got time that land was being divided out, he said, this is my home. This is my home. This is what was promised me. Give me this mountain. Folks, you're going to let somebody else step up and claim yours? Don't work that way. Brother Michael, what's mine is mine.
Yeah, that's right.
If I miss it, I miss it.
Yeah.
He's not going to give it to you for a bonus. If I miss mine, I just miss it. Those loved ones that you know of that are not
in church. They don't care if they go to church.
Yeah.
They don't care about what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Don't give up on them. Don't give up. If you ever find yourself giving up, ask God to give you a little glimpse of what He showed you.
God bless you.
You can preach, you can talk, and this is the one that really gets me. And this is how people think. Witness to a man time and time again, and he said, when I get to where I can live a Christian life, I'll go to church and get saved. I wanted to shake him. How can you live a Christian life apart from Christ? Can't do it. Cannot. Just cannot do it. Don't matter how hard you try, you cannot measure up. But you know what it'll cost you? How you can make that change to where you are presentable in the eyes of God? Have the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Apply to your life and surrender your life. It says, my sins are nailed to the cross, not in part, but the whole.
Amen.
But the whole. We've got to lay it all down. Lay it all down. God, take my life and make it what you'd have it to be.
Right.
Bless your heart.
And as dear children of God, it's our responsibility to reach for those that are lost. I thought about it when they said, it's not Brother Steve's place. I thought about it like this. If we come in and we hear the word, we shouldn't, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if we've been in the 11 o'clock service, and somebody said, what was the message about today? I don't know. Where were you? Take it, apply it to your heart and life, and then take it out to those that wasn't here.
Right. God bless you.
Your loved ones, one day, are going to take their last breath. They're going to take their last breath. And time again, you've had the opportunity, and their blood will be required at your hand. You'll give an account for every time you had the opportunity to witness, and you chose, well, not today, some more convenient time. God help us. Dwayne, you'll come with a number of songs. You stand to your feet. You know, we just got to be.
Celebrating him, the hymnal book out. And look,
just got to be willing.
664.
Just got to be willing to follow through and let the Lord have full control of our life. This robe of flesh, it's going to battle day in and day out to do what it wants to do. But each day we have to crucify this robe of flesh that we might follow Him. Well, they say, if you have a need in your life, if you have a loved one that you want to pray for, you need to pray for, come, lay them on the altar.